Isn't God good? It's really our purpose to lift up God, lift Him up, know that our worship is for Him, that we praise and we glorify God and we listen to His Word. His Word is so important. We can listen to lots of different opinions. There's lots of people that have good teaching and all that out there, but it's God's Word that we need to know. We need to know it, and that's not just my responsibility. It's not just, you know, oh, you need to know it because you're going to speak today. You know, that's your responsibility. You need to know God's Word. You need to be in this and reading it because you need to check what you're hearing and make sure that it's true. Because some things we hear, you know, they're not always true, even though they might be presented as true. So that's why we need to know the Word of God. It's the only thing we have that is absolutely true. It's what God says in His Word. And it's what guides us, it's what directs us, it's what leads us so that we walk in that freedom that we've been talking about. For about 7 months now, we've been, and some of you know this, but some of you are here for the first time, but we've been going through 1 Samuel, and we're almost done with 1 Samuel. It's been a great journey, you know, all about Samuel, the little boy who grew up in a crooked, evil priesthood with Eli and his sons, and how Samuel grows up, he becomes a judge of the people in the Old Testament of Israel, and that he anoints David, and how David is going to be the king. Well, first he anoints Saul, because the people want a king, right? And then Saul turns evil, and he becomes prideful, and he turns away from God. And God says, well, there's another king who will be a king, whose kingdom I will establish my kingdom on this man, David. It'll be an eternal, everlasting kingdom, and my son Jesus will come from this David. And yeah, that's good, right? And David, you know, we read a lot about, talked a lot about how David slew Goliath and how that's such a challenge, you know, for all of us, that we have enemies. We have giants in our lives. We have giants in our lives that we can gain victory over. We need to gain victory over those giants. And that can be anything from smoking to pride to pornography to unforgiveness. There's all kinds of things like that, right? Well, recently, just in the last couple of weeks, we've been with David and his men in the cave. We're into the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel. And one of the things that was just reassuring last week, for a lot of us at least, is that we found out that David's men, his mighty men of valor, these men who were going to help him establish this amazing kingdom, his men were either in debt, or they were in distress, or they were dissatisfied or discontent, right? So all the guys that surrounded David were a bunch of complainers, a bunch of people who owed a lot of money, a bunch of people who were just discontent. And yet those are the individuals who God says, no, these are the ones, David. These are the ones I'm going to surround you with. These are going to become your mighty men. These are the ones who are going to, you're going to follow you when you say we're going to go into battle. These are the men upon which I am going to establish the kingdom of God. And there's some consolation for people like you and me who walk through life with some debt and some distress and some discontentment, you know, that we can be included in that. Isn't that an amazing thing that God chooses to use people of humble means, people who are weak? You know, look at the disciples that Jesus chose to follow him. They weren't doctors. Well, there's one doctor, Luke, but most of them weren't, you know, highly educated. Most of them were fishermen, and yet Jesus said, come and follow me, right? Okay, so open your Bibles today. If you have your Bible, just open it. We're going to just look at the last part of 1 Samuel 22 as we start here today. What a great passage. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We find David in the cave of Adullam. And I'm going to just read those same words we read last week to start with, those first six verses, or five verses. 1 Samuel 22. So David left Gath. He escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. And all those, now get this, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. So just stop there. If you're here for the first time today and you're down or you're discouraged, or you got another one of those D words that describes you, you're in debt, you're in distress, you're not happy, you're discontented, you are in the right place. Okay, so let's establish that first. You're in the right place. It's a good place to be because you need something, and that thing that you need is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So they were discontent. They were in debt. They gathered around David. He became their leader, and then it says about 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with me until I learn what God will do for me?" I'm going to focus on that word again. I'm going to say that last line again. "I'm not doing anything," David says, "until I learn what God will do for me." He's in the cave. He's not going to get out of the cave. He's not trying to escape. He's waiting. He's waiting on God until I learn what God will do for me, he says. So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left, and he went to the forest of Herath. Now, the amazing thing or the wonderful thing about these words is that we get the story about David, and we hear about the mighty men, and we hear about, you know, that these were people who were in need, and they were weak. But we get it here in the third-person point of view. It's a story that's told about David. It's told about them. He said, here's what happened to David. He was in the cave, and his men were in the cave, and it's a third-person point of view. In Psalm 57, this is really wonderful. In Psalm 57, we get David's own story about this, and now it's in the first-person point of view, so we're going to read that today, too. So Psalm 57, if you have your Bible, turn with me to that. I think this is even more telling. You know, this is even a little more telling. We get David's personal perspective on what it was like to be in a cave. Read it with me. Psalm 57. "Have mercy." See, now it's first person point of view. "Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until," there's that word again, "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster is past. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God is sending his love and his faithfulness." Amen. "I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and whose tongues are sharp words. But be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above all the heavens, and let your glory be over the earth." You say amen? This is the words that David wrote while he was in the cave. Are you understanding that? It's while he's in the cave. It's when he's in that darkness. It's when he knows that Saul is chasing after him, and he knows that his life is in danger. David, who is a poet and who wrote lots of the Psalms, and who wrote songs and poetry, he wrote these words, and he starts off, he says, "Have mercy on me, God. Have mercy on me." We get his first-person point of view, you know, what he's struggling with. It's hard. It's hard to be in the cave, right? It's hard to be in that dark place. It's hard to be pursued by someone who hates you. It's hard to have your life kind of on hold, and you don't know where you're going or how you're going to be delivered or set free from that. David struggled with that, and I know that we struggle with it too. Someone said to me this week, and I'll be careful not to point her out because that would be cruel. But someone said to me, "I liked the message last Sunday. I liked the talk about the cave, and I understand the darkness. I understand the despair. I understand, you know, that we're in this dark cave. But now you've got, on this Sunday," he says, "you better give us 5 or 6 ways to get out of the cave." I won't say who said this. And I said, "You know, you weren't listening. Because it's not about us escaping the cave. Remember we talked about that. That we need to wait on God. I know we want to get out. We all want to get out, right? But the message of God's word is that we may need to stay into the cave for the time that God allots for us. We need to be in this darkness. We need to be in this hard time sometimes, even though every fiber of our being wants to get out. We are all about escaping. I got to get out of here. I want to get out. I want to be out of debt. I want to get my life together. I want to claw my way out of this pit. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get out of here. But God says, it's not about escaping. It's about you listening to me. And that's why it was so important what we learned from David last week when he said, I'm not going anywhere until I hear from you, God. And remember that it's in the darkness. And it's in the hard times. It's in, David used the word disaster. It's in the disasters of our lives that we actually hear God more clearly. If we're actually still and quiet in that cave, even if it's dark and scary, it's in that dark place that we hear the voice of Jesus the best. That's right, Ted, isn't it? I mean, coming out of cancer, coming out of that struggle you went through a few years back, I mean, I look at a number of you. I know you would affirm what I'm saying, that it's true. That even though we don't want to be in those places, even though we don't want to be in that dark place, it's where, if we listen, it's where I'll hear God's voice the clearest. So today, we focus on the caveman's prayer. David's prayer in the cave. And the first thing I want to ask you a question is, when you're in that cave, and I know that you all know what I'm talking about, what that cave is. When you're in that cave, who are you talking to? Yeah, and I know what your answer is going to be too, because I know you guys. You're going to go, I talk to God. Okay, well, let's talk about that a minute. Is that really true? When you're in that desperate place, are you really talking to God? You know, sometimes I think, in my experience and in some of the experience I've had in counseling or in talking with some of you guys, God's really not the subject of what's going on in that cave. We're doing things other than that. We're doing things like this. We're going, man, that miserable husband of mine. He has taken me to the laundry. I'm so sick of him. He has destroyed my life. That man, I wish I never knew that man. I wish I never had him in my life. I wish he never had come into my life. I wish I never, never had stood and made vows before God with that guy in my life. Never. I want to ask you, when you're doing that, when you're having that kind of conversation in the cave, are you talking to God? No, you're talking to whoever it is that you think really messed up your life. Or what about this, when we're in the cave and it's dark and we're feeling self-pity and we're wallowing a little bit in that self-pity and we're wandering around a little bit, we're going, oh man, I have been such an idiot. I can't believe that I'm back here again. How did I get in this cave? I thought I was out of this cave. How did I ever come back into this hole again? What is the matter with me? I said years ago that I'd never be back in this darkness, and here I'm back in this darkness again. And when we do that, are you really talking to God? No. We're talking to yourself, right? And I would say to you today that a lot of us find ourselves in the cave doing a lot more complaining than we do praying, okay? And that we need to stop talking to our ex-husband or to our daughter who did this or to our boss who's done that to us. We need to stop talking to other people in the cave, and we need to stop talking to ourselves. Quit mumbling to yourselves in the cave and start addressing your prayers to God. Because you'll notice that that's exactly what David does. He says, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, O God, he says. You know, he doesn't say, oh God, take care of Saul. Make him have mercy on me. Right? Lord, Saul is running after me. He's going to kill me. Saul, Lord, you take care of Saul. You know what? Saul isn't even in the picture in this prayer. Isn't that something? And when it really, listen to me, when it really becomes about my prayer with God and my just crying out to him, and it really becomes about imploring God for his mercy, then Saul, or whoever it is in your life, isn't really that important anymore. We need the caveman prayer. Needs to be a prayer to God. And we need to stop praying and talking to all the other people in our lives. We need to get on our knees and really pray out and call out to God. We need to cry out. And when you do that, when you cry out to God, when He is the source, when He is the one you're speaking to, then all the other people in your life, all the other brokenness, all the other darkness, whatever it is, it isn't very important anymore. It falls away. It falls along the way because God can take care of. God can take care of whatever it is in your life that needs to be taken care of. You getting this? So it's about who we're talking to. Who are you going to talk to when you pray? And stop talking about yourself. Stop talking about your neighbor. And start addressing your prayers to God, just like David did. We're going to be, just hang on, Kim. Hang on, Kim. Okay, let me talk, and I'll give you a minute, okay? Because I'm on a roll here. Okay? There's a couple things here that I want you to focus on today. And I think there's so much in here. We could be here late in the afternoon, but just a couple of highlights that I think are really important. And he says this, that I cry out to God Most High, verse 2. I cry out to God Most High, to God, my God, who fulfills His purpose for me. Let's stop there. When you cry out to God, and He really is He's the source of that prayer. He is the person identified. He's the one you're praying to. And here's one of the things that happens that God does in our lives is that He restores who you are and what your purpose is. He wants you to know what your purpose is. God's got a, isn't that an amazing thing? That God, as vast and as eternal and as great as God is, He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. He says, I got a way for you to fit into my kingdom building. I got a way for you to be a part of this body. You are my people, and I want you to know what your purpose is. He will establish His purpose in us. He will fulfill the purpose that we have. And there's a lot of times in our lives when we don't have any idea what our purpose is. And we're sitting in that cave, feeling sorry for ourselves, wallowing in it, and we're going, well, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what's going on. Well, God says, you know what? Let me tell you what's going on. If you'll just listen, I'll tell you exactly who you are and what my purpose is in your life. There's nothing that the enemy wants more than that we have no purpose. And I think he's succeeding in a lot of ways. He's succeeding in a lot of lives. There's a lot of people who walk through life, they got no purpose. They have no idea why they're living here. They have no idea why God has put them right here. None at all. And so they go through life, and all that they do is they inhale and they exhale a few million times, and then they die. But they've never found why they're here. Why has God put you here? What is your gifts? What's His purpose? What's His intention? What are you to God? Why? Why are you where you are? See, God's got a plan for us. He really does. Every single one of us, He's got a plan for us. But we sit in the cave. And we find the dark place, and we go, well, I guess this is just going to be dark, and I don't know what I'm doing, and there's no plan for my life. But we're so busy talking, we don't hear God. We don't listen to what He says. We don't listen at all. Just a little louder, Jeff, okay? We just need to know. I guess I love this verse because it says that God will reestablish the purpose that He has for you. There are so many people that they're just existing, even Christian people. You know, they're just existing. They have no passion. They have no vision. They have no mission. And it's because they have no purpose. And my purpose comes to me from Jesus Christ. He's the one who in the cave, who in the darkness says, this is what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to be. Here's what I want to establish in you. And I actually prayed about that this week. It was one of those long nights that you get sometimes where it's dark and I'm praying for some of you and I'm thinking about this word and I'm going, okay, well, God, what's the purpose then? What is the purpose of my life? What do you want me to do, God? And then you know how that goes. Sometimes certain things come to mind and you go, okay, God, I want to know your purpose. I want to know what your goal is for me. Do you want me to be a great leader? And he said, no, that's not it. Okay, God, well, I know. I want to know your purpose, God. Do you want me to be, you want me to be a great preacher, I think, don't you? And he snickered a bit. He said, no, that's not it. He said, the word I was getting from God that night, a few nights ago, was, no, Stan, what my purpose for you, and this is all I want from you, is I just want you to be like Jesus. Just be like my son. My purpose for you is just to be like Jesus to everyone. I'm not asking you to be great at this or great at that or do this or that. Just be like Jesus. I can imagine that David, when he was in that cave, when he was in that darkness, that David needed the arm of, I have this picture in my head of David having the arm of the Father around him, and the Father saying to David, you know, David, you're my son, and I want to establish my purpose in you, David. Can you see that? I can see the Father talking to David, and he's saying, I know, David, that you're discouraged. I know that it must be greatly troubling that Saul is after you and all these men want to have your life. I want you to know, David, that I establish my purpose in you. I want you to know, David, that I will not let the enemy gain victory in your life. Can you see that? Can you see the arm of the Father around David? I think in that dark cave, I got God's arm around him. I got his hand on David's heart and saying to David, David, don't be afraid. Be still and know that I am God. And I'm going to establish in you, David, I'm going to establish in you a kingdom that one day will result in the birth of my son who will be born into the royal lineage of the house of Judah. David, don't be afraid. I want to encourage you right now, David, that even while we're in this cave and even though it's hard, I will not abandon you. I will not forget you. And I will establish my purpose for you. Amen? So that's the first thing. When you're in the cave and you're making that caveman's prayer and you're crying out to God, know this. He's going to establish his purpose, not your purpose, but God. What does he want with Mike? What does he want with Jim? What does God want with Bonnie? Why are you here? That's a big question in life. Why are you here? God knows why you're here. God's established you. He's put you here for a purpose. Lori's got you taking care of two beautiful boys, but there's even more than that. He says, I got something for you. I got my arm around you. Even when you're in the cave, maybe especially when you're in the cave, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know how you fit into this body and how you will be a kingdom builder, building the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing, and I love this, is he talks about salvation. Verse 2, I cry out to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me. Let's just stop right there. Just get that into your hearts. He sends from heaven and he saves me. God sends from heaven and he saves me. God sends from heaven and he saves me. God saves me. He delivers me from my enemies. He delivers me from myself. He delivers me from my unforgiveness. He delivers me from the darkness of this world. He sends from heaven and he saves me. And here's David crying this out even though he wasn't saved yet, right? I mean, he makes this amazing declaration. He basically is saying, I'm saved, even though he's in the cave. Even though there's darkness, even though Saul is still chasing after him and they want his life, David stands up and he says in this psalm, he sends from heaven and he saves me. He saves me. I'm saved. I'm delivered. Amen? I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. Even though it might not look like it, you're in a cave. You don't look very redeemed, Mitch. No offense. I don't know how you can say that without being offensive, but even when it doesn't appear like we're saved, even though it appears like we're still pretty dark and pretty lost, we make that declaration not because you or me, but because of Jesus, right? Because of the grace of Jesus, because of the work that God has done through his son, I can stand here today and say, you know why? None of that matters because I'm saved. He has sent from heaven and he saved me. And isn't that an amazing reference to Jesus, really? I mean, where else do we get that? He sent from heaven. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He came from heaven to save us. The word in the Hebrew is Yasha. He came to save, Yasha, which is the name Joshua, which also becomes the name Jesus in the New Testament. He will save, meaning he saves, right? He will save his people from their sins. God sends from heaven to save us. Yeah? Thanks, Doreen. Yeah. God sends from heaven. He saves us. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. He's done that work. You know, we are recipients of the grace of God, and we know who Jesus is. David didn't know who Jesus is. All he knew that someday, the Son of David, you know, would come to redeem his people. Jesus has saved my life. And some of you, maybe you're here for the first time today. You're wondering what all the hoopla is about. Well, it's all about Jesus. Yeah, it isn't about anything else. It isn't about me. It isn't about Mitch. It isn't about how good we are or what we can accomplish. It isn't certainly about this building. It has to be about Jesus Christ. God sent his Son, and his Son came for the world, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe would not perish, but he'd have everlasting life. Isn't that good? It's got to be about Jesus Christ. He sent to save me. And here's the point, that when you're in the cave, when you're in that darkness, and you're crying out to God, and you're spending some time listening, you're not just in your own head complaining, but you're praying and you're listening, you will hear this from God. You will hear your purpose of why God has put you here, and he will establish that purpose in you, but he will also remind you that you're saved. You are my son. You are my chosen one. I sent my son for you, Mitch. My Jesus died for your bald head and for mine. He died to set us free, Mitch. He died so that we could declare that my God has sent Jesus from heaven and that he lived on this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. He hung there and bore all of my sins. And he was buried, but he rose again. And he's alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you follow this psalm at all, you see that that's the progression of the psalm. It starts with prayer. It starts with crying out to God. Lord, have mercy on me. You know, take me under the shadow of your wings. It's a cry out to God. But if you follow the psalm as we go through it, it turns from prayer to great praise, right? I don't know if you can get into the next page or not, in verses 5, 6, 7. But listen to what he says. It's all about praising God. He says, verse 7, my heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. I love this line. Awake, my soul. I got to do that once in a while. Do you do that? Sometimes my soul is kind of sleeping and just kind of going through life, not really very focused. Awake, my soul, and sing. Wake up. You know, look at the praise here. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. You hear the praise? Great is your love. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all of the earth. Our sister pointed out last week that when Gad said to David, after David was waiting on the Lord, when the prophet Gad came to David and he said, now it's time, finally time for you to get out of the cave. He said to him, go to the land of Judah. And as you properly said and stole my thunder for this week, Judah is a place of praise. When you go to the land of Judah, it is a place where Zion is. It's the place where the Lord is praised. It's the place where God's people raise their hands and they worship him. It is the place where you say to your soul, awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for me. Right? That's where Judah is. Leah, who had Judah as her fourth son, named him Judah because the name means I will now praise the Lord. Literally, Judah means I will praise God. So what's we saying here? We're saying that when you're in the cave, it's going to one day erupt in praise and worship. We need to be a people who are praising God. even in the darkness, even in the hard times. And I understand the hard times. I understand that there's things in your life that you wish weren't there at all. You wish that you didn't have that hard stuff. You wish that things were smoother. You wish that you could escape from that black hole. And I want to just say this. I don't know when you're going to get out of that cave. I know in my life, and Crystal can attest to that, in my life, I was in a pretty black cave. Well, I was in a cave before I even knew it, first of all. Sometimes you're in a cave, you don't even know you're in that dark place. But when I realized that, when I had the revelation of the darkness in my life, it took 4 or 5 years before I started to come out of that darkness. So I can't tell you today when you're going to come out of the cave. But what I can tell you is this. We may not know how to get you out of the cave, but we do know how to get the cave out of you. And that happens through praise. It happens through prayer and calling on God. And what do I mean by that? I mean, you know, sometimes you've got this darkness in your life. Well, it's captivating you. It's owning you. It has control of you. It is dominating all your thoughts. That does not need to be. Christ has come to set you free. You may still be in that dark place, but that dark place doesn't need to own you or possess you any longer. Right? Yeah. So, I don't know how long it's going to be, Linda. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to be. But I know that Christ has provided a way so that that cave doesn't need to be in me anymore. The cave does not live in my heart. Jesus lives in my heart. Thank you, God. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn, and I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. And so on. Praising God, right? So, let's do that. This makes perfect sense that we praise God, that we learn to come out of that drudgery and learn to come out of that pit by praising God. And I want to lead you in that this morning. And here's how I want to do that. I just want to hear how you're praising God. There's only going to be one stipulation, is that when you stand up and you praise God this morning, you got 10 words or less. Because I want to hear a lot of praise today. I want to hear, and it can be about your grandchild, it can be about the grass that's going to grow in a few weeks, or whatever it is, we're going to end today with a praise to God. And I'll tell you, you say, well, why can't I talk more than 10 words? And I'll tell you why. Well, for two reasons. One, we're going to hear lots of people praising God today. But the other thing is, typically, when any of us say more than 10 words, we say more about ourselves and less about God. So we're going to keep it short. We're going to keep it right about who God is and what he's done. And we're going to praise him. Awake, my soul, and sing. I praise you, God. I exalt you. I thank you, God, that you have shown to me the purpose that you have in my life. I thank you, God, that you deliver me from the darkness. I thank you, God, that you have sent from heaven the Savior. And he has saved me. So who's going to be first? What do you want to thank God for? Yeah, stand up. Every time, stand up so we can hear you. Because this won't be on the microphone. Not everyone's going to hear it unless we talk loudly. Thanks, Lorraine. Amen. Amen. And I'm just going to mention about Jim. Jim was in the hospital this week, and he got out like 3 days earlier than they thought, and he's doing so much better. We praise God, right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. For your healing power. Who's next? Joya. Okay, from your shame and your fear. I'm just going to repeat some of these things. Paul, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Sonny. Hey, abundant life. Amen. Bill, and then Gary. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We can clap. We got to exalt Him. You know, it says make a shout to the Lord and clap your hands to the Lord. So, yes, Mary. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Gary. Yeah. Turn to Jesus. Jill, would you pray for him right now? Just stand up, Gary. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You receive that, Gary. You receive that. Someone over here. Yes, Kimberly. What could you possibly be thankful for? Amen. Good word. Thank you, God. Yeah, Christina. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Lynn, stand up.
I felt a renowned hope, and I thank God for that, and the wonderful people that I know, and that God's place there, and all to do with coming here this morning.
Thank you, God.
And my family, and yeah.
You know you belong, right?
Feeling good, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like I am still sitting in the cave, but it's okay because I'm waiting for God to show me the way. Mm. Well,
and the day is coming soon.
I got it.
Amen. Tim. Like that. Alda.
She would just like all of us to always say positive things about her, and especially me, and not negative things, so to build her up.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay,
building up the body of Christ. Doreen.
Okay. Actually,
10 words, Doreen.
What was that one?
We won't count the first one.
I would like to thank my God just for being alive, because I had an aneurysm 34 years ago. And believe me, that wasn't funny. I never walked for practically a year. And just took it all away.
Wow. Hallelujah. That's awesome.
I'd just just like to thank my Heavenly Father for Jesus, and even in my sickness, He keeps bringing me back. Thank you, God. Mm.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Kim?
I'm not happy there, but I'm blessed to have a roof over my head. And He's been a God that's unspeakable for me for the last week.
Thank you, God.
And just thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Barb. You don't need a mic? Go ahead. Thank you, God. Thank you for our children. There you go.
I'd just like to thank God for showing me humility, and it's showing that it's not about me, that it's about Him now, and that I can serve Him better now.
Yeah.
And all the gifts that He's showing me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We're going to get to you, Al. Just a couple here, and then there's going to be some more after that, but I want Al to sing that song.
I thank God for the strength. Well, there are times that I want to give up, but God still keeps giving me strength and
He gives you strength,
hope and faith, and it's a very hard life. It's like our life is not easy, but God is always there. He's my everything.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I just want to thank Jesus that in my weakness His strength is made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just take a minute and listen to the song, and there'll be a few opportunities afterwards for a little bit more praise. Thank you, God.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand, 'cause I'm tired, and I'm weak, and I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, take me home. When my way grows dear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, take me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, cause I'm tired, and I'm weak, and I'm worn. Through the night, to the storm, lead me on to the light, take me home. Lord, lead me home. Precious.
Thank you, God. That wasn't orchestrated. It was a song that Al was singing this morning when we walked in here, but I think that's the Holy Spirit, how God works. And it's how we praise God, right? You know, we praise God better when we do it together. And that's what's so wonderful about when we can stand up and share and be open and open our hearts and sing a song or play piano. And we've got a couple more minutes yet, so we want to make sure that we have offered to God a sacrifice of praise, because it's how the darkness, you know, gets penetrated by the light. It's we bring that light through our praise and through our worship, and we remove the darkness of that cave from our hearts. You know, I'm no longer captivated by that cave, because my Jesus stepped out of the cave. Amen. He rolled the stone away. Yeah. He rolled the stone away. So a couple more. What are we thanking God for? How do we praise God? Yes, Teresa. Amen. That's right. And you got a important responsibility there. Bless you in that. As you raise that little girl, she's going to be a woman of God, a mighty, mighty woman of God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Dougie. Yeah. Give him glory. Thank you, God. We worship you. Kathy.
I thank God that he's revealing my heart and taking me out of the cave, the dark cave.
He reveals our heart. Amen? Mary.
I praise God that he draws me to himself no matter what. And he keeps calling out and reaching to us. And I thank him and praise him for answered prayer.
Yeah.
And I just thank him for this church, too, and the support that we have here. Mm-hmm. And he told me today that, Mary, you have to speak out more. He said there's so many things that you're blessed with, and And the answered prayer was your message today, and he spoke that through you too. So I praise God for that. And while I have the microphone, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody in the church that has supported us and helped us and made meals for us when we lost our girl. So that was like 10 months ago. Mm. It's taken me 10 months to say thank you, but I just want to say thank you to everybody. It meant a lot.
Love you. We praise God for music. Yes. Can you just use this?
This is a strange thing to be thankful for, but I want to thank God for Jonathan Kahn, who called the United States to repentance at the president's inaugural breakfast. That just spoke so deeply to me. And it just a call, repent. Mm. So I thank God for Jonathan Kahn and his boldness.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, God. Go ahead, Haley.
I just want to thank God for confirming again to me that he is my all in all, even through hard times. And he just always says, I am who you need. And he is my all in all, and I thank him.
Amen. Oh, I just feel the praises are rising, right? Praise is rising. We worship God. We thank you, Lord. Who? Carl?
Ooh. I just want to thank God this morning for delivering me from the Jehovah Witness. And I haven't thanked him for many years because I've been saved quite a few now. But my brother is in the hospital in Saskatoon and wasn't expected to live, and he refuses a blood transfusion. And so it's just the prayers of those godly people who are praying for him that I believe is keeping him alive. And he's going to come through here, this, and he is going to see Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he's going to accept him as his Lord and Savior.
Amen.
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 And I would ask for your prayers. His name is Paul. And each and every day, they don't know what's going to happen.
Thank you, God.
But I just pray, I've been praying that God will speak to him and he will answer.
Thank you, Jesus.
And take that transfusion.
Thanks. We'll pray. Amen. We've been praising God, right? We just worship Him and it's good. He is worthy of our praise. God is amazing God, and I know that some of you are here today, you just need some prayer. We're going to end the service here real quickly here, but just want to finish with this song of praise. And this is a new song. And it's just one that I've heard on the radio lately. And the reason why we're doing it, there's lots of other songs. I was going to do something different. But this one is really built on and based on Psalm 57. If you read that psalm again, it talks about your love, O Lord, it reaches to the heavens. And your faithfulness stretches to the skies, God. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. And your justice flows like the ocean tide.
Now, Jeff, just turn this down a little bit.
Thank you. So just learn this with me. Just stay seated for a minute. And we're going to stand. We're going to finish with a great song of praise and adoration. And if you need prayer today, just come.
Your love, O Lord, brings you to the heaven. Your faithfulness, precious to God. Your righteousness, like a mighty mountain, yeah. Your justice, Lord, like the ocean. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, to the heaven, your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness, like a mighty mountain, yeah. Like the ocean tide, I will lift my voice and worship you, my King. I will find my place in the shadow of your wings. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my rest in the shadow of your to worship you, my King. and I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King.
Thank you, Lord.
And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love reaches to the heaven.
Sing that again, your love.
Your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heaven. Yes, your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heaven. Your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heaven. Your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heavens.
Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his amazing peace. Amen. Keep praising God. Keep praising God. Amen. If you want prayer, if you're needing some prayer today, don't run away. It's time to pray.
Your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heaven. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky.
Your love, O Lord,
reaches to the heaven. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness like a mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean tide. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, reaches to heaven. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness like a mighty mountain. Oh yeah. Your justice flows like the ocean tide.
Amen. Just praise the Lord.
And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your love, O Lord. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your love, oh, 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 Lord, your love. Yes, your love, it's your love.
Good song. I thought yours was pretty good.
Yeah, I have a good job.